Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome back to An Adventure in History. We are so glad you are listening to us on KMUN or a podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on KMUN.org. You can listen to all the podcasts as well. We're glad you're here.
Or you just stop us on the street because we'll talk to you anywhere.
We will talk to you anywhere. Yes. I mean, I will, you know, have a whole host of kids with me usually. But yes, I will. And we have another person here to talk with us.
We do.
Danielle Tinker.
Hello.
Thanks for being with us. She is with 1015 Productions, which performs at the 1015 Theater.
That's right.
And we're going to delve into what the difference is.
Yes,
but not right now.
Yeah, into her past and why she's here and all that fun stuff. But can I start with my vintage slang?
You can. Your slang. Okay, we're doing slang.
It's in the form of a flashcard for those of you listening, but the guests here today can read what the card, okay, the word is.
Okay, and I have to tell you, now we shifted from your historic words that have disappeared that you were trying to bring back. Last week was the first time you did slang, historic slang.
I did. And some of these you recognize, but we don't use them the same.
You're on probation about this. This whole shtick is probationary.
It is.
So we're going to give it three more times, and then we'll see if it's a beloved new bit that we do or not.
Well, you gave it to me like a year ago, and I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. So we did every last word first. So here's the word. So the word's ankle.
Ankle?
Vintage slang. What do you think it means?
So is it being used here as slang as a verb?
It is. Yep.
Okay. So it is not the part of the body.
It is not. You're correct.
So you're going to ankle something. I say, I guess first, you can appear far smarter than I am when I guess something really stupid. I'm going to guess that it's the when you are deep in something not good.
Ooh.
Like ankle deep, like, oh, you are so ankle in that bad situation.
Interesting. Okay. That's a good answer. It's wrong, though. any suggestions or any ideas how you would use this in vintage slang?
Well, I'm fascinated by the first response because I'm thinking like that's maybe a lesser evil than like knee deep or neck deep.
That's
so
ankle deep.
Oh, shoot. Ankle. I'm going to say it's like trying to wrench something, maybe. I'm trying to ankle it.
All right. You guys had very good guesses. You're both wrong. It's very simple. It's to walk.
I'm going to ankle it.
You need to ankle over to your office.
Hmm.
Put a move on.
Yeah, that's not coming back.
Ankle
that's
over.
That's not used, and it's never going to be used again.
It's to walk. Let's ankle to this popsicle stand.
Okay.
The suggestion that they use.
I'm going to take my dogs for an ankle.
Yeah.
And see how that goes.
It's not coming back.
Okay. Okay.
You can text her and she'll be happy. But other than that, it's not coming back.
I like that one.
All right.
Okay. What else do we have today?
Oh, we do have the temporary exhibit up at the Heritage Museum upstairs. The Quiet on Set.
I like that one.
The filming of the Goonies.
This is bonus Goonies.
It is bonus.
So Goonies. You have to go to the Film Museum first, and then get your An Adventure in History pass because it's the name of our radio program anyways.
Yes.
So you should be buying that one if you don't have a yearly membership. And then you come here to get the rest of the story.
Yes.
Right? Because the Film Museum has like all the films from Oregon.
And the Film Museum is not all Goonies.
Right.
It has a lot of Goonies.
It does. But
it's
then
not
you come
all
here
Goonies.
For, no, it's all the Oregon films. So fun. I like it.
So, yeah. Up now. So don't know when it's going to leave. So you better hurry.
Okay.
It's going to be up all year.
Dr. Chelsea Vaughn gets all the credit.
It's going to be up all
she
year.
She did a great job, of course.
All right. So, before the history highlights.
Yes.
Okay. I've seen like these websites, like, am I the jerk? Am I the bad guy here? I have to do a quick, am I the bad guy?
You might be.
I might be, but I don't think I am. So I came
You're
home.
You're asking me.
I came home Friday and somebody has put a sign.
Uh-oh.
For like a yard sale. Down the road in my yard.
Oh.
Never asked us.
Yeah.
Now my road, my driveway, parking space in front of my house is a really good spot for signs.
Oh, okay.
But nobody ever asked us. So I didn't throw it away because it was a nice sign. It wasn't homemade, but it was one they had bought. And I took it down and just put it on its side. I came home yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And it's back.
Oh.
And it's like leaning against my mailbox.
Oh, how funny.
So I took it down again. I was tempted to throw it away.
Well, you could take home, too, and just leave it there.
Oh, that's true.
Because you do have the address.
Yeah, I do have the address because it's on there. I feel like it's asking me to endorse their garage sale.
I think a lot of people are very confused about public right-of-way and what that means versus private property.
When you're almost attaching it to my mailbox.
Correct. I know. But again, yes. Course, I mean, look at political signs, right? I mean, yeah. I could go on a tangent about political signs.
I think there should be a fine if your political sign is not down within 24 hours after the election.
I'm all for this.
They actually are pretty good. I think they get more than 24 hours. I think it's 2 days.
Okay, I'll give them 48 hours.
That's fair.
Or three.
Maybe they're crying that they lost the election. They need time to recover.
Sure.
It's the signs that are truly in a public right of way, right? Yes. They are not on anyone's private property. I hate that. I don't know why. It's another one of those like things that just doesn't sit with me right. There is not a fine. You can report it. And then they are told to move it.
Okay. But of course, the political opponent could just get a whole bunch of your signs and put them around and get you in trouble that way. Okay, but back to me, because it is all about me.
Are you the guy?
Am I the jerk?
Well, no. At least you didn't throw it away. Had you thrown it away, then yes, you would have been.
I am tempted to throw it away if I see it standing up again. But you obviously think I should have driven over to their house and like thrown it into their yard.
Not thrown it into their yard.
No, I feel like they should have taken the hint when they saw it and moved it somewhere else.
Thank you.
To put it up again just seems really rude.
See, the discussion in my house is, okay, did they think maybe the wind just blew it over the first time?
Probably.
And if they come back and put it up a third time, then... then
yeah.
My household has voted it's going in the garbage.
Okay.
But you think that's a bit extreme.
Well, I don't know. I'd have to see who it was.
She thinks I'm a jerk.
Nope.
All these years.
It's on the line. It's on the line.
Okay. I just had to get that out there.
Okay.
I'm curious. Go ahead and email me and let me know if I'm the jerk here.
Okay.
Because I'm willing to accept. Hey, who
cares? Director at Astoria Museums.
That's right. Okay. But history highlights, because we have a guest. I apologize for wasting so much of your time.
No.
But I had to get this off of
me. It's very important news.
It is. Yes.
April 7th. These are the history highlights, things that happened on April 7th. 1712. Tomorrow. This was tomorrow.
Yep.
1712. Slave revolt in New York City.
Oh.
Just after midnight, 9 slave owners are killed and 6 wounded by a group of about 2 dozen slaves attempting to lead a revolt. At least 21 enslaved Africans were executed in response, and another half dozen committed suicide. You know, we don't tend to hear that.
Yeah.
Many times they did try to fight back.
Sure. Yeah. So, and the retribution was always much, much worse.
And especially the South, they were terrified of this kind of thing happening.
Right.
Because they were so outnumbered. The mm-hmm. slave owners.
Correct. Yeah.
So, all right. 1805, Lewis and Clark depart Fort Mandan.
I saw that one.
North Dakota. They're coming our way.
Okay.
1862, the Battle of Shiloh concludes. Really bloody and messy.
Oh.
1922, Warren G. Harding's Interior Secretary Albert B. Fall leases the Teapot Dome oil reserves to Harry Sinclair, setting in motion the Teapot Dome scandal. It's huge. In the day.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
It was a big deal when public officials were held accountable. Okay.
and Max, the one who doesn't like to get political.
Hey, I'm just making a historical statement.
There you go. Okay.
You can read into that statement whatever you want for your modern politics.
Yes.
All right. 1945, during the Battle of Okinawa, Japanese super battleship. I like that. Super battleship. Yamato and 4 other destroyers are sunk. 1948, the World Health Organization is formed by the United Nations.
Mm, also political, WHO.
And after that, we've had no diseases. So, all right. 1954, President Eisenhower presents Cold War domino theory, that the fall of French Indochina was going to lead to communism if we let like Vietnam and Korea and other places.
It was a thought. Yep.
And that was going to be my history highlight of the day, because that sets off the whole... Harry Truman, then Eisenhower on this. This is the whole Cold War right there.
It's a big deal.
Rather than fight it in America, in the United States, we should fight it around the world. All right, but even more important than that, my history highlight of the day, thing I think had the most impact on history, 1969. The internet's symbolic birth date with the publication of RFC1.
Oh,
we all know about RFC1, right. Don't we?
No, not at all.
See, and we should.
I was going to say, yeah. No.
It's the very first request for comments, RFC, document was published titled simply Host Software. RFC1 was written by Steve Crocker to document how packets would be sent from computer to computer in what was then the very early ARPANET.
Interesting.
ARPANET.
It's kind of the birthday of the internet. Interesting. That's
1969.
Huge.
1969.
What would we do without it?
So yeah. I think it had the most impact.
I agree. That's a big one.
What I miss.
Because we believe everything on the internet,
we
right?
We do.
1940.
Wouldn't it be funny if that was false?
Oh, it would be awful. 1940, Tuskegee Institute founder Booker T. Washington becomes the first Black American to be honored with a postage stamps. It would take 40 years for a Black woman to receive the similar honor. And that was Harriet Tubman in 1978.
Oh, I was going to guess.
Oh, sorry. But yeah, Booker T. Washington. So that was 1940.
Okay.
Yeah, 40 Booker more years. T. Yeah. On the postage stamp.
That's what I call it.
It's kind of a big deal.
That's it? That's all I missed?
That's it. Yeah. All right. You know who else is kind of a big deal? Danielle Tinker.
The executive artistic director
for 1015 Productions, which performs at the 1015 Theater.
Hello.
In Astoria.
Yes.
So let's get it out of the way first. What's the difference between productions and theater?
Yes.
Okay. So the 1015 Theater is the venue in which we are housed, and that was named by the originators of the space. And then blah, 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 COVID, all those things. And then I was hired on in 2021 to reboot the house company. Because 1015 Theater was listed as an LLC at that point, we were trying to make sure we could still get nonprofit status.
Sure.
And so we formed 1015 Productions, which is the company that creates all the things that happen there.
Perfect. Yeah. That makes sense.
So one is for profit, in theory. One is nonprofit, in theory.
Correct.
Okay.
So the LLC has since been dissolved. But we still have the delineation for tax and businessy type purposes.
Okay.
Makes sense. So let's start with how you got into theater.
Oh, goodness. Well, I started off as a dancer when I was very young. And as I got into high school and was taking that more seriously, I had a debilitating stage fright. I vomiting in garbage cans backstage, like cold sweat. It was awful, awful, awful. And my mom at the time was like, you got to do something about this or I'm not going to let you dance anymore. So I was forced into a drama class my freshman year in high school.
Forced? Oh.
Forced.
Sounds painful. I know.
More vomiting later.
Yes. There's lots of vomiting in my story. but that struck a chord with me. And when you brought up the word ankle earlier, I was laughing internally because my ankles were my downfall in my dance career, which ultimately is how I transitioned from dance to theater. And so while I still dance recreationally, I guess, from time to time, my focus shifted. So thank goodness I had that to kind of focus on as a teenager, because I think I would have been completely inconsolable otherwise. And went on to get my theater arts degree.
Yep. So how did you get over the stage fright? Yeah. Or do you still just
have it? It's not nearly as bad as it used to be, but any sort of public speaking, which I tend to have to do a lot of in my my career, usually involves some elevated heart rate, feeling like I'm going to pass out and or vomit.
So, you know, there's the Seinfeld bit about that fear of death is number two, fear of public speaking is number one.
Yes.
So if you're at a funeral, it's better to be in the casket than giving the eulogy.
Oh, absolutely.
So with that in mind, that you are not unique to this, that there are a lot of people out there that are terrified of being in front of a large crowd.
Mm-hmm.
what tricks or what would you recommend? You know, how, besides not doing it, which that's not a great answer.
I mean, I think practice makes perfect, honestly, and far from perfect, but it makes it easier. You get a little, like, the exposure therapy, I guess, over time. It gets increasingly less terrible, but I'm at least, for somebody who's wired like me, it never fully goes away, for sure. Yeah.
So back to dance. So what ages did you start dancing? And then did you think as a young kid that that was going to be a career? I mean, and talk about sort of that transition of thinking, you know, sort of the kid version versus how am I going to make a living out of this?
Right. So I was about 5. I think I started ballet, and that led to tap and jazz and modern. And I did some ballroom for a while. I knew that I always wanted to perform for sure. But I also grew up in a very poor household. And so there was always like the overlying, well, that's great, but how are you going to pay your rent, kid? Like,
right.
You know, so which was also very much instilled with me. So throughout high school, I kind of thought I was going to end up being a special education teacher. I have a brother who's developmentally disabled, and so that seemed like the right thing to do, kind of thing. And then got to my freshman year in college, I'm like, I really don't want to do that. I still want to do theater, and I was there on a theater scholarship. It was like this big, big internal struggle for me to admit that to my mom. Yeah. For sure. I just remember calling her and being like, okay, I have some news. I'm switching my major. And she's like, I've been expecting this since you were in diapers.
Oh,
so I don't know what you're stressed out about, but you're still going to have to figure out how to pay your rent.
Kind
of thing. So
still good. That's still good advice.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what school were you at? What theater school were you at?
Western Oregon University.
Okay.
Yeah.
So wait, where did you grow up?
Portland.
Okay.
Portland.
I mean, I
yeah.
thought we had Maddox Dance Studio or something.
Yeah. Oh, no. No, born and raised in Portland. Okay. Most of my training was through like public after school programs, that sort of thing.
Okay. So what was your answer when you're changing your major to your mother? How are you going to pay your rent? I mean, what are you thinking at this point?
Oh my gosh.
While you're in college.
I was 18. I thought I was going to finish school and go off to New York and, you know, work as a waitress and get discovered, you know, like every 18-year-old aspirational actor does. In reality, I finished my degree. Life circumstances were such that I needed to stay close to home, relatively close to home. So I lived in Salem for a while so I could be close to family. And when I graduated college, I was working as a barista at Borders Books in Salem. And eventually shifted into being their office manager. And then that eventually shifted into, I had a background as a cater waiter from school as well. So that turned into event planning, which then I got laid off during the recession. And that turned into me deciding to go to massage school.
Oh my goodness.
I did that for a while. I was a massage therapist for about 12 or 13 years. That ended here. I'm like jumping all over the place. When I was in Portland working as a massage therapist, I had chosen that in part because it was flexible enough for me to continue doing theater. So I was doing a lot of acting, working with various groups around Portland and Vancouver. And that ultimately led to me co-founding a community theater in North Portland, Twilight Theater Company, which landed me in arts administration in a way that I had never thought that I would be doing it. So when I was doing that while working like 3 massage jobs, when my husband and I relocated out here in 2018, and I was very much like, I'm done with that. I just want to go back to being an actor again. I don't want to have to figure out how to pay somebody else's rent anymore. Like this is too much. And then COVID happened and priorities kind of shifted for me. And while I still love doing massage, I was like, I think it's time to start transitioning into something else. And this opportunity to take over the 10-15 was presented to me, and I was very, very direct in that I was like, okay, yes, I do have this experience. Yes, I'm interested, but this needs to be the way I pay my rent if you really want me to do this. Yeah. And so I gave them some time because I knew that wasn't going to happen overnight, and continued to work. And so it started as a small stipend and then eventually grew. At the same time, I injured my hand and was not able to massage anymore.
Oh, wow.
So the timing, it seemed very fortuitous that it, like, one kind of faded out as the other faded in. And here I am.
And you had set those parameters too, right? I mean, that's a hard thing to do.
It is.
Especially in a job that you know you want to do.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Like, that's your love.
Yes.
So I'm kind of curious, and we've had this theme kind of a number of times in the past couple of months, but you're in school for theater. Is there any discussion from professors about how this is as a career?
Not so much in the undergrad, for sure. I mean, I loved the program I went to, but I don't know that they were intending to set people up for long-term careers. I think the vibe at that point was that's what graduate school is for, which I had intended to do. But again, life
happens. I'm forming
life
a club of all these degrees that they never actually discuss, because I have the same situation with a history degree. Never talked about museums. It was studying it for the state of studying it,
right?
And that you will go on and get another degree, and this is the foundation for being a lawyer or being a teacher or something else.
Sure.
And I'm fascinated by these degrees. We've had a music, we've had this.
Yep,
so
I mean,
it's been a number of folks.
And it's 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a program, right? I mean, this is a degree.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I too am kind of astonished at that.
Yeah.
So, well, good job.
So because I want to make sure we have time, you just last weekend, so a week ago, you had this wonderful experience. Talk a little bit about something cool that happened.
Yes. So 1015 is part of the American Association of Community Theater. It's a national organization that offers all sorts of incredible opportunities and networking and training and resources. But one big, really cool thing they do every 2 years is called Act Fest, and it's a one-act play festival. It starts at the state level, and each state is able to choose a theater to represent them in the national one-act competition. So 1015 was Oregon's selection for the second time. We went 2 years ago as well. And we just traveled to Boise, Idaho for the regional competition, where we were up against three other productions and spent the whole weekend. You go in one day and you tech your show, which is incredibly stressful in a brand new environment.
One
you don't
day.
Have your own equipment. You have 80 minutes. They time you, and if you go over, that's it.
Oh my gosh.
Because their goal is to make it so every theater is on a very level playing field, regardless of size, budget, all those parameters.
Huh.
So then we went from the tech rehearsal on Friday, and then Saturday was all-day performances. So we got to see everybody's show. We went last,
which
was kind of amazing and terrifying as well. I don't know why I was terrified. I was just there to cheer them on.
Yeah.
But we competed, and we had a really great adjudication. And ultimately, we took home two individual awards. Dylan Dish got a Best Cameo Performance.
I love that.
And then Cindy Fisher got an Outstanding Acting Award. So we're not going on to nationals, but that is okay.
Did you last time?
No. Okay. We came in runner-up last time.
Okay.
I'm not sure how we placed finally this time, but I'm just so proud of the group. They did amazing, and it was a lot of fun.
And they were pretty happy with
that. Oh, yeah. We all had a blast.
So tell us about the theater. So what could we see there? When can we see shows? Who's the target audience?
Well, we have a show going right now, Marjorie Prime, that has two more weekends. We will close April 12th. It is incredible. I cried at every rehearsal I saw before opening. So please come out and see it, because I'm probably going to be there crying again. And then we have a full season. That Marjorie Prime is only the second of our 6-show season. And then we have multiple special events. We have some great classes coming up in April for experience levels of all shapes and sizes. So
okay,
if you're interested in learning a little bit, that's a really cool opportunity.
And what is the target audience there? Is that adults or
definitely yes. more adults? We skew teens to okay. adults. Yeah,
that's great. I mean, yeah. the Liberty Theater kind of has the, you know, kids make
yeah,
theater.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is a nice addition
for sure.
Because are you the only program that's doing art classes or workshops?
Pretty much. Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach does occasionally have workshops as well, but I'd say we're doing them more frequently.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then your performances as well. So do you buy individual tickets? How does that work? Or season tickets?
We do have season tickets available, but that window is closed for the year. So individual tickets are available for all of the shows. You can buy them online or at the door. We also have what's called a Flex Pass, which you can purchase online that covers 4 tickets that you can mix and match in any combination that you want.
Oh, I love
so
that.
If you know you want to see a bunch, but you don't want to commit to specific dates yet, that's a good way to go.
Okay. And can we find all of your season performance shows listed on the website then too?
Yes. The 1015 Theater, all spelled out with an ER.com.
And that's TEN.
The 1015 Theater.
And where's that located?
1015 Commercial Street in downtown Astoria.
I love that.
I do too.
Yes, that was a great idea. So what's next for you? What's going to keep you here?
Oh, goodness. I am more of the same. I'm at the very early stages of planning for next season. So I'm already getting excited about that. We'll be sending out call for directing proposals here probably in the next month or two. And then just moving on through the next shows. Marjorie Prime will wrap up, and our June show, again, The Act of Perfection, opens May 30th. So I guess it's technically May June show. And they are already in rehearsal. So there's really never a dull moment in my world. It's they're always overlapping and on to the next. It's pretty cool.
And Mac always likes to ask.
It's actually your question more than mine.
Is it?
Or oh,
you've taken it over.
I have taken it over.
So outside the theater, what do you do outside the theater?
That's an excellent question. I think my husband would like to know the same thing.
So not much.
Not much. I hang out with, I've got my husband and my 2 little dogs at home. And now that the sun is at least trying to come out, we'll probably spend some time on the deck and enjoying the view and just being homebodies.
That's good.
Right. In 30 seconds, the question I frequently ask,
yes.
whatever the topic is. So what is the your favorite play that you've ever seen?
Oh, gosh. Oh, wow. Well, I actually just had the opportunity to go to New York at the end of February, and I got to see Oh Mary, which is this absolutely ridiculous comedy. It's relatively new. I think it's only been on Broadway for about a year. I got to see Betty Gilpin as Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh, fun.
And it's, you guys, actually, this would be a perfect topic. This could be its own show in and of itself. Very ridiculous alternate storyline where Mary is insane and needs to be contained.
Oh, okay. Max interested.
It's right. So fun.
Awesome.
So it's a historic piece.
It is. There we go.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we will catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.